Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, I am joined by my co-host, Coach Sylvia Guevara. Sylvia, how's it going for you?
It's going all right. It's raining over here in Miami, but we're good. I'm good to go.
All right. Yeah, weather's a little nicer up in D.C., but you guys don't have to deal with the impending winter, which I'm already starting to feel. It's midway through November, but that's when basketball starts to get interesting. Okay, so just a rundown of what we want to talk about on today's episode of the Heat Wave, which we are premiering at a new time, 3 o'clock. We realized it wasn't practical to do a show on during the week at night, especially when a lot of Heat games are on Thursday nights. So this is where we're going to be on the air from now on. But, yeah, we're going to take a look at the Heat's upcoming schedule. They've got 2 games this week. Talk a little bit about Tyler Johnson and why Tuesday's game against the Lakers was really special to him, and give you a little Heat trivia and answer the trivia questions for those who've been wondering what that was for the last 2 weeks. But first things first, we finally have some developments on the Gerald Green situation, as his suspension has ended and he returned to practice today. Sylvia, you want to talk a little bit more on that?
Sure. Well, as we know, Gerald Green got suspended for 2 games due to an incident that happened like a week ago or so, or something like that. You know, what I read go for it.
Yeah, it's been like almost 2 weeks, I feel like, because he didn't play. I mean, remember, Mario Chalmers was still on the roster, and that was
the night before
the first Minnesota game.
Well, yeah, as we read in the, you know, in our local newspaper, Miami Herald, he actually just got in an incident with a gentleman. He actually punched the guy. And, you know, it's kind of a weird situation. We don't really know the details, and I don't think we'll ever know. But I'm glad he's back. You know, he's back with the team practicing today. He's going to play against the Timberwolves on Tuesday. So I'm just glad he's back, because he's a very important part of the team, and we really need him now that they traded Chalmers, you know. So that's all I can say about Gerald Green for right now.
Yeah, and I agree with you. That was a very, very unique situation. I mean, I can't say it's nothing that I've even heard of, or it's the most surprising thing that's happened, but it just seemed odd the way everything went down. At least the suspension makes sense now, given that we know he actually threw a punch at another gentleman and hit him in the face. So, yeah, we finally got some clarity on that. But the Heat were actually able to do pretty good in the games he missed. They're actually on a 3-game winning streak after beating Toronto, the Lakers, and the Jazz this week.
Yes.
Currently their record is 6-3, which is good enough for fourth in the Eastern Conference. And I mean... And second for the Southwest Division. Granted, the divisions are now meaningless since they don't play into playoff seeding at all, but that's still something you always want to do, win the division, because you play those teams 4 times a year, and that's just bragging rights.
Right.
But, yeah, like we said, we're going to take a look at the opponents that the Heat are going to be playing this week. Like I said, they've got 2 games. On Tuesday, November 17th at 7:30, they're going to be hosting the Timberwolves for the final game of the season series against Minnesota. And on Thursday, November 19th at 7:30, we'll be hosting the Sacramento Kings for the first of 2 matchups against them. All right, now Minnesota is 4-5 this season, and before they play Miami, they're going to be hosting the Memphis Grizzlies on Sunday. Just Sylvia, real quick, who do you think has the advantage in that game?
The Grizzlies, where they just got Chalmers, so that's what he's. No, Chalmers been a good part of the Heat rotation for a season, and he's a good player. He just hasn't been playing up to par for the couple years, you know, but he'll get back to it. I give it to the Memphis against the Minnesota.
Oh, yeah. And Memphis is definitely going to use him to create some outside shooting, which is actually where Mario Chalmers excels, playing off the ball, being able to spot up for open threes like he did during the Big Three era for the Heat. So, he should definitely help them get the win against a young but impressive Minnesota's team. They're 4-5 so far this season, with all four of their wins coming on the road, which is mind-boggling when you think about it, considering how young this team is. I remember I was watching a Magic game the other night, and they were talking about the teams who had most of their points scored by players under 26 years old, and Minnesota was pretty high up on that list. I think they were third or fourth.
Right, yeah. I believe you're correct, Josh. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Now, Minnesota is dealing with a couple of injuries. Nikola Petkovic is still out indefinitely with an ankle injury. We're not going to be seeing him until 2016, from what I've heard. And Ricky Rubio is questionable for Sunday's game against Memphis due to a knee injury. He's also been inactive for their last two games because of that sore knee. Now, like I said, this is the second matchup between the Timberwolves and the Heat. Miami won the first one in Minnesota, 96-84, almost 2 weeks ago now. That was the first game that Gerald Green missed after he was hospitalized the night before. Sylvia, what did you think about that game?
Well, I'm glad the Heat won, that's for sure. But it was a good game. They're, you know, Minnesota is a young team that, you know, could battle anybody. They just, you know, they're better on the road, 4-1. So they just got to improve at home. You know, they got to win at home with the fans cheering for them. And, you know, Wade played great in that game, Tyler Johnson as well as Bosch. You know, the big three, but I think those three players are becoming, you know, have a good chemistry. And, you know, I think the Heat are going to win it again with the new players that we have, you know, and that's all I can say right now. But I'm going for the Heat for the Tuesday game.
Yeah, I agree with you. The Heat definitely have the advantage. We'll definitely get more into it on our pregame show for that game. It's going to be at 6:30 Tuesday. Be sure to tune in for that. But just recapping the previous game against Minnesota, Kevin Martin and Shabazz Muhammad were the leading scorers for the Timberwolves. Each was 14 points off the bench. And Neha Bjelica, I know I butchered that first name, the big man from Serbia, had 7 rebounds to lead the Timberwolves in rebounding. If you remember, their rookie Karl Anthony Towns, a.k.a. Carlito, which I think is one of the underrated nicknames of this year's draft class, was basically shut down by Hassan Whiteside. And that was huge for Miami getting the win, because he's easily been the best rookie so far this year. He doesn't look like a rookie. He looks like a guy who's been in the league for a couple of seasons. He's great on defense. I remember I took a look at their on-off numbers and it's absolutely ridiculous. Basically, if Minnesota had him playing 40 minutes and those numbers stayed consistent, they'd be the best defense in the NBA. Maybe Golden State would be better, but they'd be in the top three for sure.
Yes.
Now, for Miami, we got huge games out of Dwayne Wade, who led the team in scoring with 25 points, and Chris Bosh, led in rebounding with 12 points, and he also chipped in 16 points for his first double-double. And that was a very significant game because early up until that point in the season, Bosch had been struggling to find his shot. And after that, he has been the best player for Miami. Sylvia, what are your thoughts on that? Because I know you've been harping on how you wanted him to get his shooting stroke down earlier this year.
Right, yeah, there's one of the slow nights that Bosch, you know, he only contributed until the third or fourth quarter. And, you know, but he ended up with 16 points, which is great, and 12 rebounds. But you're right, Wade, that was, I think, the biggest night. He had 25 points with 5 rebounds. He's always going to have assists, steals, you know. He's always good on defense, wide side as well. So those three players have been on point lately. And the bench, we can't forget about the bench. The bench is always contributing, like Tyler Johnson, one of our favorites. Winslow, Dang played decent. Dragic played decent as well. So we're getting, you know, our players have been consistent since that game, and as well as Bosch. So definitely I think that Heat are going to win again.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, real quick before we move on to looking at the Kings matchup on Thursday, I just felt like I should let most of the fans who don't get a chance to follow the NBA and know all the players to know some of the key players for the Timberwolves. Now, Brandon Rookie of the Year Andrew Wiggins is their leading scorer. He's averaging 20.5 points per game right now, and he's been their most active player, averaging 33.6 minutes a night. Karl Anthony Towns, the rookie, who's looking like he's going to win the Rookie of the Year trophy by a mile, is leading the Timberwolves in rebounding with 10.3 rebounds. He's also averaging double digits in points, which is just phenomenal to get that type of production out of a rookie. I remember during the pregame show, we talked about how he was the first player since Shaq to be a teenager and average a double-double in their first two NBA games.
Right.
So he's going to be a special player in this league. And Ricky Rubio, who we don't know if he's going to be able to play, but has consistently been one of the best playmaking point guards when he's been on the court, is leading the Timberwolves in assists with 9 per game.
Most definitely. Yeah, they're a good young team. We can't deny that. And, you know, it's going to be a battle on Tuesday once again.
Yeah, and that's the young core we're talking about for their future. Ricky Rubio is the oldest of those players, and he's only 25 years old. So,
wow.
Yeah, this team's got a bright future ahead of them, but right now I'm looking for the Heat to put them in their place and be like, hey, you guys got next, but we got right now.
Right.
All right, moving on. We've got the Sacramento Kings coming into town on Thursday. They are currently 3-7 this season, and they've got 2 matchups before they play Miami. They will host the Toronto Raptors on Sunday, and then Wednesday night, on the front end of a back-to-back, will be playing at Atlanta before taking a flight down to Miami. This is going to be the first of 2 matchups between the Heat and the Kings. And real quick before I start just overviewing their team and their roster, I would be remiss to mention this absolutely absurd story, which has been one of the biggest stories in the NBA for the last couple of weeks, especially this week. The tension between head coach George Karl, their best player DeMarcus Boogie Cousins, and the front office. Sylvia, you and I were talking about it. Do you want to give the fans a quick recap of what happened this week?
Right, yeah, I think you mentioned about a Twitter that Cousins put out there for everybody to see. I think it was putting something about his coach, right? That's what you said, George Karl?
Okay, now snakes in the grass. Now that was back in the off season when Karl had basically been shopping around DeMarcus Cousins against the ownership group's wishes, saying, hey, we've got this guy. I'm trying to get him out of town. So what are you going to offer for him? So in the past, there have been a number of players, including Andre Iguodala and Ty Lawson and Carmelo Anthony, who have, in reference to George Call, tweeted out things basically calling him a snake in the grass. And the Marcus Cousins did the same thing. Now, the incident I was talking to about this week was something that's out of a soap opera or a reality TV show. I feel like it's only a matter of time until we get cameras in Sacramento's locker room, because this thing is basically an everyday type of thing for the franchise. So after they got beat by the San Antonio Spurs on Monday, I believe, and this is DeMarcus's first game back after missing four games with a strained Achilles, he just came in and started cursing out George Karl in a tirade that was just absurd and the most disrespectful thing you can do to your coach. Sylvia, I've got no idea what I feel like if any of your players cursed at you, you'd just kick them off the team automatically.
Right, yeah, most
like, that's something you can't do, especially in front of the rest of the roster. So, of course, the next day, DeMarcus apologized, but the story doesn't end there. George Karl apparently went to their general manager, Vlade Divac, who was appointed personally by their owner, Vivek. I can't say his last name, so I'm not even going to try right now. who bought the team 2 years ago. But he was like, hey, I want to suspend DeMarcus for 2 games. I can't have a player come in and curse at me like that. None of the rest of the team is going to respect me after that happens. And Vlade told him no. And there are reports that there was a players-only meeting DeMarcus held that ended up going from just being a players-only to players and management. And at one point, reports are saying that Vlade Divac was actually asking players, hey, do you want George Karl to stay being our coach, or do you want us to fire him? Now, since that's happened, DeMarcus Cousins has come out and said, yeah, I don't want a coach to get fired. I'm not trying to go through four coaches in 5 years, which that would make it for him. I mean, there's been a lot of turmoil in Sacramento because he knows he can't win like that. But this is basically like the goody-goody, we're all back to being friends stuff we heard over Summer League, which I'm just not buying. I feel like it's only a matter of time until one or both of them are out of Sacramento, but the Kings are going to be at least a little happy because DeMarcus Cousins is one of the few players who plays better when he's mad.
Right.
All right.
I add something to that? Have the difference between high school and professional basketball, there's a huge difference because in high school, the player would have been kicked out of the team immediately by the head coach. Because we don't permit that, you know, we don't permit players to talk back to coaches, you know, and that's the owner of the Sacramento Kings, he's kind of wrong there because he should have had a meeting first with the head coach to see what's going on, if he has any tension with the players or any players, you know, then decide to have a players-only meeting. That tells
me. Well, it was DeMarcus who DeMarcus called that meeting in front of the media members right after cursing out George Karl. So,
like I said,
it's circus over there.
Right, but as an owner, you're telling your players that the players are more important than the coaches, which both of them are important.
They've made that very clear that DeMarcus Cousins is more important than any coach.
Right, which is wrong. Because you can't play without a coach. Coaches tells you what to do, you know. He sees what is behind the bench. He sees what's on the front of the court. The players don't see that because they're just playing the game and running the play.
Yeah.
So coaches are very important, you know. I just wanted to add that because I'm a coach, you know. So
I know. I agree with you on that point. But the thing is, DeMarcus Cousins is the highest paid member of the franchise.
Right.
So they're kind of at his whim. Because if he says, I want to trade out of here, well, we're talking about a fan base who hasn't seen the playoffs for 11 years. I don't know how much more patient they're going to be, especially the fact that the city gave so much money for a new stadium.
You're right. Exactly. Yeah, I see your point.
Again, it's a complicated situation. Now, the Kings are dealing with a couple of injuries. Rudy Gay missed his last game because of a stomach flu,
right.
And he's questionable for Sunday. But I feel like that should be cleared up by Thursday. And Darren Collison, their backup point guard, has missed the past four games due to a hamstring injury, and he's listed as questionable for Sunday. Given that it's a soft tissue injury, we don't know how good to go he's going to be. So it remains to be seen if he will play. All right. Now, looking at the Kings leaders, and you'll understand why. It'll start to make a little more sense why management is siding so much with Boogie Cousins in all of this. He's not only their leading scorer with 26.7 points a night, he's also their leading rebounder with 11.2. Last year, they got off to a great start until he got viral meningitis, and that's basically when the season fell apart. Everything that this team does revolves around DeMarcus.
Right. Yes, it does.
All right. And now, Rajon Rondo is also another key part of this team. They signed him to a one-year deal this offseason after he was basically excommunicated from the Mavericks team during the playoffs. They didn't even give him his playoff share of money, which I think is ridiculous, but that's a conversation for another time. Right now, he's leading the team with 9.1 assists per game and 34.7 minutes played a night. So, Goran Dragic's going to have his hands full tonight because he's going to be potentially going up against two of the best playmaking point guards in the league.
Point guards,
Silvio, I just want to hear your quick thoughts about this game.
Right,
like I said,
well,
we'll get into it more. Go ahead.
Right, yeah, there's going to be another good game. You know, they have Rajon Rondo, which is, he's a veteran point guard. 9 assists, that is amazing, per game. That means he's a great facilitator. He sees an open man. Even though his points are down, because, you know, as we said, Cousin has 26 points per game. He only has 13 points, which is decent, which is not the same Rajon Rondo we saw in Boston.
Well,
but
we've been
still
seeing
very
flashes
important.
Of it.
Right, which is still important because he has 9 assists.
Yeah, well, he also grabbed, if I'm correct, 2 triple-doubles last week.
Yes. He's very important. So they're definitely need him, you know, to step up. Rudy Gay, which he's also another great guard. 17 points per game, that's pretty decent. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Let me see.
And
he
like
has...
you said, continue.
No, go for it,
sorry. And also, like we said, they've got DeMarcus Cousins, easily one of the top 3 centers in the league, going up against Hassan Whiteside. That's going to be a great matchup. Whiteside definitely is more of a defensive player, but DeMarcus Cousins is one of the most versatile big men in the league. He can actually – he doesn't have 3-point range, but he can stretch the floor, hit shots from like 18 feet away. So it'll be interesting to see how those two match up against each other.
Yeah, Rondo's definitely going to win this battle against Dragic. Rondo's too fast. He's way too fast for Dragic.
Yeah.
My personal opinion. Go for it, John.
Okay. All right. Now, moving on. We said we were going to talk about Tyler Johnson, who's quickly become a fan favorite in Miami. We all remember when he burst out on the scene last season, shooting 79.5% from the field. I still have his shot chart saved in my phone. I remember I was talking to one of my buddies a couple weeks ago. He's like, who's Tyler Johnson? The guy who broke Twitter last year who shot 80% from the field. Like, he's a great guy. I'm still trying to figure out how he went undrafted from Fresno State last year, which is absurd. Sylvia, I know he's one of your favorite players on the C roster.
Yeah, most definitely. Well, it's going to be a great battle on Thursday, you know. I can't wait to watch that game. You know, Sacramento is what? They're 3-7.
3-7.
And they won.
Yes.
But they won their last 2 games, so that's, you know, that's a good thing.
Yeah. Like I said about Tyler Johnson, we mentioned at the top of the show, we were going to talk about why Tuesday's game against the Lakers was really special for him. Now, I saw this in a video that I found on Reddit. I shared it with Sylvia before the show. I'll definitely tweet it out after the show. There was a profile done on Tyler Johnson when he was a junior in high school at St. Francis High School out in California. And it talked about how his mother is in the Air Force and just how he loves it when she's actually able to see him play because she'll be going overseas and doing deployments. Jennifer Johnson, Tyler's mother, is actually a master sergeant in the 129th Rescue Wing of the United States Air Force, and she was actually able to be in attendance for the Veterans game, for the Veterans Day game on Tuesday against the Lakers. So that just a little personal interest story about the young guard who figures to be a huge part of Miami's future.
Right. Yeah, what's one more interesting about it is that, you know, her mom is always on the go, you know, 2 a.m, you know, going to work. And she mentioned that her older sons are the ones that were taking care of the younger ones, which is amazing. It takes, you know, it takes passion and dedication to your job in order to sacrifice your kids, Lena. And so much props to her, to his mom.
Yeah, and again, we want to thank all the veterans who served and all the people who are currently serving to keep us safe. Also, it would be just tone deaf of us not to give a quick mention of the terrible incident that happened in Paris, France. Our thoughts and prayers are with the French nation and the family members of all those affected by last night's horrible attacks.
Yeah.
There's no
very
place
sad
for that on this earth, and that's just the act of truly evil men. That's all I really want to say about that, because any more is going to be doing their job, because they want us to talk about them.
Right, right. Yeah, that was just very sad. And it's just so tragic to see how the world is just so scary. You can't even enjoy the soccer game.
I know.
You can't terrorize.
As much as we love sports, we all know that it is secondary when it comes to things like that. But it does provide people a relief. Okay, now, before we sign off, during our last episode, almost 2 weeks ago, we had a trivia question, which we said if you had the answer to, tweet it out to us. You can tweet at me, @JILORI_22. Sylvia, could you let them know where to tweet, where to tag you?
Right.
What your Twitter handle is, so they can tag you in this answer?
Sure. It's at CoachGavana205.
All right. And be sure to also tag our station at 305 Sports and Life and use the hashtag Heatwave when answering. The answer to our last episode's question was Alonzo Mourning. And real quick before we go, I'm going to give you some hints for this one. This former Heat star was a first-round draft pick in 1989 and part of an iconic trio in California before he was traded to Miami in 1996. He was a member of the 2000 Olympics team with Alonzo Mourning and would play for a total of 5 NBA teams before retiring in 2003, 10 years before his son was drafted into the NBA. And again, use the hashtag Heatwave, tweet it at all of us, at 305 Sports and Life, at Coach Giovera, 205, correct?
That is correct, John.
And at @JILORI_22. All right, we will see you guys next week. The heat is on.